Thank you. What a blessing. Let's go ahead and stand. As you're standing, if you have a Bible, you can open it to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And the title of the message tonight is The Shepherd and the Lamb. And in Psalm 23, it's a familiar psalm to us. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We have great news, great things to rejoice about, hope for today and for the future. So Heavenly Father, we thank you as we sing these songs that are familiar in our hearts with great joy this evening. And how, Lord, I pray just as a pastor and fellow believer that you would work in and amongst our hearts today, how we could be drawn to you and to see you in a way perhaps we've never seen you, as our good and great and wonderful shepherd. For those that have been wayward, I'm so glad you're here, either watching online or here with us in person. But it's a night like tonight that you may experience the love of God in a new and a fresh way. We open our hearts to you, God, tonight. And for anyone that may not yet have come to that place of experiencing the forgiveness of Jesus for salvation, I pray the great shepherd would open your heart and you could receive the goodness of his saving faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 23 is a popular song. It's well known. It's been said that it's a psalm that's quoted in nursery schools and on battlefields. It is deep enough that scholars can swim in it without ever touching the bottom, and yet it's shallow enough for little children to drink from it with never having to worry or fear about drowning. There's an event that happened in 1987 when I begin to mention the title that was given to this event. For some of you, you're going to say, "I know what that is." And for others would say, "It was years before I was ever born." So in 1987, there was this little baby, only a year and a half in Texas. Her name was Jessica. The event is called Baby Jessica. What had happened is Baby Jessica, a year and a half old, was on the property, on the land of her aunt. And unfortunately, she fell in the shaft of a well. And she went down 22 feet in this well. And there she was. And not only did the town in Midland rise up and think what we can do in a panic sort of desperate way, but the nation got involved, even our President Reagan at that time. Not just our nation, but the globe became very, very interested in praying and in helping in any way. And how could they find some sort of a solution? How could they rescue this little 1.5-year-old? And some said as they were in the process, they could hear below, she's singing Winnie the Pooh. And so they knew she was okay, but she was definitely injured. And so they brought out some people in Texas that understood how to dig for oil wells. And so they started that process quickly, but unfortunately, because of the heavy rock, they were not able to penetrate and to go down. The idea was to go down next to the shaft and then go across horizontally. They brought out jackhammers to just, you know, penetrate the rock, and that wasn't successful. There was a new technology at that time, and it was using high-powered water in a jet stream sort of a way to really break through the rock, and that happened to be successful. And it was a period of 56 hours straight, nonstop. And they were able to go down and go across. There was a young man, he was a roofer. And when he was born, he didn't have his shoulder blades, in a sense, intact, or they weren't there. And so he said he could try to, you know, skinny down the thing and get in there. But they used a paramedic who went down, and they were able to rescue Jessica. and bring her up. And to this day, obviously she's in her 30s today, but to this day she still has a scar of remembrance on her forehead because it was rubbing against that cast iron steel of the well that was there. And even our president, President Reagan at the time, said that the world basically had a lot of godfathers and godmothers at that time, meaning everybody was involved in praying and helping for this rescue that took place. And it's a very vivid illustration, because Christmas is about the greatest rescue mission on this earth. Here we were on this earth, and we have no way of solving our problems in the mess that we're in. Just like when little Jessica was down there, someone didn't yell down, just crawl out, just have determination, think happy thoughts. No, there had to be a well-planned, determined mission to rescue that little girl. And God from heaven says, clean up your own mess. No, he didn't say that at all. He said that the only way the human race can be rescued is if I come down, and I come down right next to you, and I do something that is needed for the entire human race to experience this. You see, it was in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve, they fell. They were in perfect fellowship with God. But there was a time where they exercised their free will. And let me make it clear that everybody has free will right now. God's never taken away your free will. It is your choice whether you want to accept Christ and follow Christ or deny Christ. It's your choice. But I'm praying and believing that even tonight, our hearts are moving in the direction of choosing all that God has for us. Adam and Eve, they fell. They were down. They dragged all humanity with them into the darkness of sin and death. And what did God do? This is what Christmas is all about. God says, I'm coming down to earth. I'm coming down to rescue you. So when we see in Bethlehem, as the songs we sang today, that there was this child. And when you think of a nativity scene or a manger scene, you see obviously kind of a little bit of a stable. Perhaps the child is in a trough, something they ate out of, drank out of. There was Joseph and Mary. We know that there were wise men that came later on. They're in your nativity scene, but they're kind of out of order. They came after that time period. Keep them in your nativity scene. It's cute. And then, but not only Joseph and Mary were there, but you'll also have shepherds and little lambs that will be there too, sheep. So what I want to talk about today is to reflect upon the fact that these shepherds and lambs came to see the Savior. But prior to that, in heaven, the Savior is the shepherd who became a lamb. And the lamb is now our shepherd and our Savior. I know that's a little confusing on the first run through, but Jesus Christ is our shepherd. In our text today, we learn that he's not only the good shepherd, the great shepherd, he's the chief shepherd. And the Lord, as the shepherd, he left heaven and came as an infant to become a Savior. And to become a Savior, the shepherd had to become a lamb. And the lamb would be sacrificed on the cross. And after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, there's both the shepherd and the lamb that are before us. And I'm wondering, if you think about this, in the scriptures, where did the word love first show up? In the scriptures, in the Bible, where did the word love first show up? Where did the word worship first show up? Where did the word lamb first show up? It showed up in Genesis chapter 22, right in there. The word love, the word lamb, the word worship. We're here because we love Jesus Christ. We love what he's done for us because he became the lamb, and we worship him because of that. But there was a statement also in that 22nd chapter, and in the 22nd chapter, there was a brief little sentence, and the sentence is this: where is the lamb? That's in Genesis 22. And it's a question that Isaac asked his father Abraham as they were going up the mountain. Also remember, when Abraham and Isaac, they traveled to the location with a caravan of people, but Abraham said that his son Isaac and him are going up to the hill, but they will return. even though he knew what God had asked him to do, he still stated, we're going up to the hill, he's to be sacrificed, but we're both going to return here as well. It's a faith that he had. But as they were going up that hill for the sacrifice, Abraham sacrificing Isaac, his son, Isaac said, Father, I see that there's the wood and there's the fire, but that sentence comes, but where's the lamb? That's in Genesis 22, but where's the lamb? We're talking tonight about the lamb who was the Savior, who's also the shepherd of our souls tonight. But where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself as the lamb. And then you wonder, where's the lamb? That was in Genesis chapter 22. We have to go all the way through the Old Testament, which ends with Malachi. Then there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John, he's the Baptist. He's on the beach, and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Isn't the Word of God wonderful? Where's the Lamb? Behold the Lamb. And what we're doing tonight is we're celebrating Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, as our shepherd, and as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As we draw our attention to Psalm 23 and verse 1, there's a brief sentence, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if we think about this for just a moment, I think most of us are somewhat familiar with Psalm 23, but may God touch our hearts in a fresh way tonight. Notice that he didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He did not say the Lord is the shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. And that's where we need to be tonight. We need to leave here tonight and being able to proclaim this in a very personal way, that the Lord is my shepherd. Understand, he's my shepherd. That you would say that for yourself, you personally, the Lord is my shepherd. That means he cares for you. He protects you. He provides for you. All our needs are supplied by the Lord. I wrote down a sentence, our needs will never be met until they are met in him. All of our needs that we have, they're not going to be met until they're met in Jesus Christ. He's the shepherd. The secret of satisfaction is found in our shepherd. Isaiah the prophet would say in Isaiah 40:11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And how the Lord is our shepherd. Christmas is an interesting time because you're going to say, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want? And then afterwards, what'd you get for Christmas? Did you get everything you wanted? And I understand that. And I understand the delight and the joy of being a gift giver and even a gift receiver in these things. But in terms of where we're at tonight, I shall not want. That the Lord wants to satisfy the greatest longing of your heart. And in the day that we're living in, we must be honest and truthful. These are very difficult times. They're very trying times with everything that's going on. We have the information. We know it's been very discouraging and depressing for many people, our young people included. We have the statistics out that really represent devastation that people have done to their lives. And it's very, very sad. And you can feel alone. And you can feel discouraged. And you can feel isolated. And you can feel like, who really cares? And does it really matter? It matters to the Lord and it matters to us. And when the scriptures say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those feelings, those desires, God wants to meet them tonight. The Lord laid upon Jesus the iniquities of us all. The shepherd became a sacrificial lamb, spotless and pure, taking our place on the cross. His blood was spilled out for the forgiveness of our sins. I said that there's a shepherd and I said there's a lamb. I say that the shepherd still exists because the invitation is right now tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. I lived a lot of life without knowing this relationship. God is saying, I want to be in that place for you tonight. I want you to know my love. I want you to know my care. I want you to know I'm with you. I'm for you. God wants us to know he's in control. In Revelation chapter 7, it says, for the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne. Wait a minute. Pastor, you said that the Savior was a shepherd who became a lamb, and the lamb died for our sins as a shepherd in heaven. I said, yes, that's true, but there's a shepherd and a lamb in heaven. That just like that little Jessica bears the mark on her head at this time for what she endured before the rescue, Jesus Christ, when he rescued us, he still bears the scars of that rescue mission, that rescue operation. In heaven, we're going to see our wonderful, great, and glorious God and Savior. He's going to be our shepherd. He's going to be our lamb. Wonderful things we have to look forward to. Revelation 7:17. For the lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to a living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Perhaps even now at this point of this message, perhaps your heart has been stirred. Perhaps you've never thought about the glorious Savior you're going to see is going to be a shepherd and a lamb. And both of those representing his love for us. 1 Peter 2:5. For you were like sheep going astray, but now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. I love the scriptures. I love the word of God. Revelation 12 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the lamb. Also in Revelation 21:27, but only those, listen now, this is important, only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So there is a book in heaven. It's called the book of life, Lamb's book of life. And it's very important to have your name written in that book. How does our name get in that book? I believe it gets in that book by accepting Jesus Christ. For as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God, that would be the Savior, that would be Jesus, that would be the Lamb, that would be the Shepherd. If we've rejected him, we don't have eternal life. And it says, these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. My friends, God wants us to have that sense of assurance that not only does he know us, we know him. And then our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Pastor, I want my name in the Lamb's book of life. I have no way of making that happen. It's between you and the Lord. But I want your name in the Lamb's book of life as well. How does that happen? It happens by saying, dear Jesus, forgive me. I have lived for myself. You are my Savior. You are the child that lived a perfect life and died on a cross for my sins. See, our sins are either on ourself or on our Savior. He died for the sins of the world, and he's offering forgiveness to those who want to believe and receive it. If my sins are not on Christ and I've received that forgiveness for my sins, then I would face Christ, someone would face Christ bearing their own sins. The wages of sin is death. So by understanding what this is saying, the Lamb's book of life, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. I don't know how difficult time has been and how you're just maybe running through some really hard times right now. You may be wondering, where is God in the midst of this? I believe God, I trust God, but I never realized that things would be so hard and so difficult, and my faith is being shaken. And that's okay. The storms do come, but have we built our life on the rock? Because as we build our life on the rock and these things happen, Jesus, you'll hear his voice. And his voice will say to you, I'm still with you. I'm still in control. And you'll hear his voice. And you hear his voice when you read his word. If you may say, I am really at a place that I'm not growing spiritually. It's a dry time. I don't really hear from God anymore. May I encourage you to open up the word of God. And you might even open up to the gospel of John chapter 10. In chapter 10, Jesus declares that he is that good shepherd. In John chapter 10, he says, I am with you. I've got you. It's not us grabbing onto God. It's God. He's the one that has us. Praise God. Praise God. You know, so many times I feel like I'm sliding and slipping, but God has me. You know, those sheep, when in verse 2 it says, makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. I did a little research and I was wondering, what would cause a sheep, a little lamb, not to lie down? And there were four things that I learned. One would be fear. So if a lamb is filled with anxiety, they're not going to be down. If there's friction, and that would be amongst the other sheep in the flock, so they're not doing good. And that's happened, and the shepherd needs to have a flock talk and get them to calm down a little bit. Also, there would be flies or other pests around them, or perhaps they were hungry. There are four reasons why they would not lie down. And Jesus in verse 2 is saying, he makes me lie down. You know, sometimes it's because an illness or something unexpected comes upon you, your life, upon me. And it's the way that God says, now you've got to lie down. The Bible makes it clear. He didn't say he gives me a choice to lie down. He makes me lie down. Situations come which causes us to lie down and to feast upon the food that he has for us. And you know what? You've done that. You've been doing that. God bless you over these last couple of years. God allowed COVID to happen and all the stuff that's happening, but it's allowing us to lay down with Jesus and feast upon his word. And then he leads us beside the still waters. He's the one that leads us. This is for some of you, and I know there's many in here that study the Bible, involved in other Bible studies. I found it very interesting. We're talking about Psalm 23, but Psalm 22, 23, and 24. Psalm 22 speaks about Jesus dying on the cross as a good shepherd. Psalm 23, it's speaking about the great shepherd leading us, and Psalm 24 speaks about Jesus, the chief shepherd, coming again. Interesting how the scriptures... 22, he's going to die for us. 23, he's living for us. 24, he's coming for us. What a blessing the word of God is. I said that the scriptures make it clear by declaring this shepherd, Jesus, to be a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and a chief shepherd. It tells us in John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So, Jessica in the well could not save herself, and no person in this world can save themselves. It's impossible to even think about that. Even think about saving yourself in a practical way. You can nail one hand to the cross, but I'm afraid you're not going to be able to nail the other to the cross. We needed a Savior who bore our sins for us. He's the great shepherd. And he speaks about that in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. I'll read this. It's very rich. Listen now. Not only a good shepherd, but a great shepherd. Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. How are we going to do his will? We're going to just be more in love with our shepherd, and he's going to be to us the good shepherd every time we realize what he did for us that we couldn't do. And he's the great shepherd, the one who sustains us and leads us. And also in 1 Peter 5:4, he's called the chief shepherd. He's coming for us, by the way. In 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that doesn't fade away. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This idea of restoring, it's the connotation of that rescue mission he has for the sheep. Verse 4, even though, yes, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, just take these scriptures, and again, I pray that there's a freshness to it. We're walking through. We're not stuck in the valley. It says, not when you camp in the valley and live there. We're walking through it. We go through difficult times, dark times, the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. An important point to make. The shadow is not reality. The shadow of death is not death. It's a shadow of death. See if I can give an illustration that can help us out. Guide Meridian, going to the freeway on I-5. Guide Meridian, packed out, crowded. You just went to Red Robin. You're leaving Red Robin. You're coming down to the signal. The Guide Meridian's right in front of you. That illustration, you there? I'm there. I'm in my car. The signal is green for the cars headed towards the freeway on the guide meridian. There is a huge semi-truck coming. The sun is shining, and it's shining as this truck is coming by, the semi-truck. And the shadow of that semi-truck, it crushes me and my car. It just runs me over completely. It's the shadow of the semi-truck. It crushed me, but I'm still here. It's the shadow. The shadow is not reality. And in our lives, we face many situations that are like a shadow of death, but it's not the real thing. The real thing is our victory in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he rose again from the dead. For us, when I die, in a sense, it's the shadow of death. I'm still alive. I'm more alive than ever before. I'm in the presence of God with every believer. The scriptures say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, shadow, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? And so if we think about this for just a minute and you see, even though I'm going through a hard time, it's a shadow. It can't consume you, control you. It can't, you know, overrule you, overrun you. Our victory is in Christ Jesus. We need to go to our shepherd and say, this is a shadow. It's real. I'm passing through it. But the shadow is not reality. Reality is the shepherd. And it's the shepherd that we want to be in love with. And notice, by the way, the only way that you can have a shadow is that there's light somewhere. And even through those hard times, those shadow, you look for the light, because there's no shadow unless there's a light. There has to be a light. In the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of that shadow of death and darkness, look for the light. There has to be a light. Without a light, there would be no shadow. In verse 5 and 6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. In a moment, we're going to have communion, and God's prepared a way for us to have fellowship with him, recognizing again that there's this table that is prepared for us to have fellowship with him called communion. This idea of anointing my head with oil in the presence of my enemies. My friends, there are people that don't like you at all. And unfortunately, there are family members that resent you for whatever reason, whatever difficulties, whatever hardships happen. But it's very, very difficult. So those that can be dear to you, that you love the most, in a sense, they treat you like an enemy. Don't retaliate, please. Don't retaliate. But just understand that God is with you. God is for you. That in the presence of all this happening, he wants to have fellowship with you and fill you with this Holy Spirit, that your cup would run over. And finally, in verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Looking forward to what's ahead. But surely goodness and mercy. Would you consider those two, goodness and mercy? Make them like, personify them a little bit. Consider them to be your bodyguard, that no matter what difficult situation, that shadow of death you're going into, that there are two friends, and it's goodness and mercy, and they're following you around. You ever feel sometimes you're being like, someone's following me? What's going on? Do you get the weird feeling or whatever? These guys aren't weird. These are good guys, okay? These are good guys. Goodness and mercy. It says the goodness of God and the mercy of God. They're our bodyguards. They're with us in every situation. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember, in Revelation 21, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more COVID. No, it doesn't say that. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. It tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and this is when David is praying, and he's praying for his son, and he's fasting, and he's weeping, and he's praying for his child. He's interceding and just laying it out there. He's not even eating. And then he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and I wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But the child died, but now he is dead. And David said, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. My friends, when he says we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you have loved ones. We have many friends and loved ones that have gone to heaven this year and in previous years, and you at these holiday times can be yearning in your heart for the absence of your loved one, your friend, your spouse. But it makes it really clear, guess what? We get to go where they're at. Because every believer in Jesus Christ, every believer in Jesus Christ is in the presence of the Lord, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And in a short time, there'll be a reunion there. And finally, it says in John 14, 1 and 3, and we'll have the worship team come up right now. But it tells us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. Jesus speaking, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will receive you again unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What's he saying? The Bible is telling us, in heaven, there's a lamb. In heaven, there's a shepherd who's our Savior. And he has this place prepared for you. But he's very real and very present right now. He wants to be for us the Lamb of God that takes away our sins. He wants to be for us that good, that great, and that chief shepherd for our life right now. Amen. And communion isn't something that we created as a church or some sort of religious group invented. This is what Jesus put into existence. And he said, as often as you take communion, do it in remembrance of me. And he said, there's two things he wants us to remember. We've talked about them tonight. And the first thing is that he gave his body for us, and then he shed his blood for us. So the bread would represent his body, and the blood would represent the salvation that he gave for us. So when he went to the cross, the scriptures are clear that what he took physically for us, he did it in a way that there is today a way that God would want to minister to each of us by what he did for us, that he wants to strengthen, he wants to heal, he wants to encourage us. So maybe there's brokenness of heart, broken emotions. Maybe there's physical things you're contending with. As we take this bread, we remember Jesus, our great shepherd. He wants to minister. He wants to heal. He wants to show you and me today that the Lord is my shepherd. He wants to minister as a shepherd to us because he is the Lamb of God. Therefore, he can be the shepherd to minister to each person right now. As we have this bread in our hand, I'll pray before we take it. Heavenly Father, we remember your body given for us. And Lord, not just a part of salvation, but a part of the way that you would choose to minister to every need, every hurt, every pain, every sorrow right now. You are the great and wonderful Savior, Lord, and Shepherd. Please minister, and in your own heart, ask Jesus for the help you need because he's your shepherd. As you take this bread in your heart, ask Jesus to touch you, to heal you, to strengthen you. Let's take this bread now in Jesus' name. Why do I believe in Jesus? Because nobody else in human history left heaven and came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and proved it to the entire world. As a matter of fact, as we approach the next year, 2022, every year is marked by the significance of Christ. That's how we mark the years. It means 222 years since Jesus Christ came for us. That's what it means. Every year is the significance of why we are here. And so things could change and there could be world peace today if everybody in this world said, Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sins. If we sought the peace of God through the blood of the Lamb, it would change things. There's coming a time when there will be world peace, when the Prince of Peace will return. He will rule and reign in righteousness. We're going to be a part of that. We're going to be there. We're going to be there with our Lamb, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen? That time is coming soon. But you don't want to lose out on what God has tonight for us. So, Father in heaven, I ask for your forgiveness for my sins, for our sins. And if anyone here tonight, if you've never, ever asked Jesus for forgiveness, ask him in your own heart. Proclaim the fact that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. For the rest, we don't want anything to ruin our fellowship with you. So we thank you for what you did for us, Lord. We take this cup, drink now in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and stand. And as you're standing, we have one other song that we're going to sing. And before we sing that song together, as I talked about that shadow, remember, the shadow is not reality. It's real that there can be darkness, but the reality is Jesus. That's the reality. For I am persuaded that neither life nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. When we sing Joy to the World, there's so much to be joyful about. He will not let you fall. You're in his hands as a follower of Christ. Even though things can be shaky in your world, he's got you. He will keep you. You say, I've been distant from you. If you're truly a sheep of the Lord, then he'll go after you. He'll leave 99 to go for you. You're not lost. You're not alone. You're hearing his voice tonight. He's apprehending you back to be in fellowship with him. Let's sing Joy to the World, and then we'll have a final prayer. Father in heaven, I do pray that you would extend, God, just a rich blessing on every life here, those watching online, even our family members, God, that are away, those traveling, may they experience the goodness and the mercy of God. Thank you that you're always with us. May you uphold us, encourage us, bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we have great joy. May our lives be a testimony to you. May we determine tonight that we want the Lord and we want our needs to be met in Christ alone. In his name we pray. Amen.